My name is Jeremy Devins, and welcome back to the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast. And I've got my voice back. So I got very sick last week, was not able to record or talk very much. So I've been going through big illness in the last week and feeling much better now and grateful to be able to record again. So thank you for listeners who reached out and just asked how I was doing and made sure everything was okay. I appreciate that. And grateful to be back on the track. And I'm going to share a little bit today about the breakthrough that I had in this process. So I think illness is not just what it looks like on the outside. It's not just getting sick. It's not just maybe you did something in your health and your diet that maybe got you sick, or you're around somebody who was sick or whatever. I think there's a deeper spiritual, emotional meaning to it in my perspective. And I'll share what I uncovered in my process with that. And, you know, we all get sick at different times. We all have health issues that are out of our control. And I think they can have greater meaning to us. And when we look for like signs or answers or directions in life, one of the things we look to is astrology. And one of the things we can look to is just what's actually happening in our life right now. Like getting this cough that I had, as I'll share about it in a little bit, it's more than just that cough in the moment. When I go deeper into it, there's actually an incredible layer of synchronicity to that specific cough I had, and then what it relates to in other areas of my life. So we're looking for signs. Sometimes, you know, I see this a lot with people in the spiritual communities, like, should I be with this person? Should I move to this house? Should I take this job? And then they start looking to tarot cards and divination tools and talking to this healer and this astrologer and this person and that person, and getting out of their intuition and really out of their awareness and out of the awareness of what's happening in the present moment. Like, for example, I had this cough and I could have ignored the cough, ignored the actual physical thing that was present, and looked to, well, what's the astrology say, which is helpful, and I will share that was very helpful, and you see the perspective in the astrology. But it's not everything, you know, and as an astrologer, I shouldn't be saying this, but it's true. It's, you know, as a human, I should be saying this. It's, astrology is just one of many tools. It's a really powerful tool, but it's not everything. And it can take us out of our intuition if we become too dependent on astrology or tarot or intuitive readings or divination tools or whatever. They are just tools for your intuition. So if you are in that space of like, what's next? What do you want to focus on next? What's the thing to focus on, to do, the place to go, the choice to make? And you are in that time of exploring different options and testing this, looking for a sign. Just give me a sign. No, not that sign. Give me another sign. Give me a signier sign. And no, I don't like the reading of the tarot cards. I'll pull cards again. You know, that kind of thing is now taking you out of your intuition. And there's a sort of surrender that is possible. That's one way to go. And I find that often people are struggling, and it's like you're swimming upstream when you're doing that. But there's another way to go that's more of just surrender, just letting go. Just, yeah, you can look at the astrology, you can look at the tarot cards or whatever, and but once, for a little bit, you know, maybe like 30 minutes looking at astrology, but then put it down and get back to your life. It's like looking up at the stars, you know, literally, if you do the astrology, you look up at the sky. Okay, I see Jupiter's here, Saturn's there. Got it. You know, you don't need to spend too much time looking at it. That's why these podcasts are relatively short in the transits. It's like, once you got it, okay, now you move forward. You live your life, get some experience, get some perspective, and then you come back. Okay, what's happening next? You don't need to spend too much time in each particular transit or each particular thing going on in your life. Just enough to like get the direction and get the message and then continue on. So I think sickness is like this too. I think anything in life can be like this. Health, sickness, success, failure, there's a message to it. And there's also a way of living where it's like, it's all just is what it is, and it's not so deep, and it's not so meaningful. But for me, all my eighth house stuff, everything has some sort of deeper meaning to me. And I feel like more satisfied when I've uncovered some sort of deeper sense of meaning with things in life. So when I have this cough, it's like, well, what is this here to teach me? And it's so interesting because I don't have I don't smoke or anything. It's like, why would I have such a bad cough? I'm like literally coughing up stuff, you know? So feeling unproductive and unable to work and unable to speak most of this time. But then I learned that when you're coughing stuff up, it's actually called a productive cough. So I was very productive in the last week, and I'll just leave it at that. Not grossing you out or anything, but it feels good to purge that stuff out, and it feels like a purge. So there's an element of that. So it's like something is moving through my body and out of my body, and I can see it with the physical evidence of it. I can feel it, the pain of the cough. It was very painful the first couple of days. And then there's something else of like, what does this remind me of? Or what does this relate to in my life? And what's happening now that may be similar to what was happening when I previously had this? And it went all the way back to my childhood. And I did this whole process with a coach that I've been working with for a long time, who I trust. And it really does help to have these kind of mentors and coaches in your life to go into these kind of spaces and do this kind of work. And it's actually something that I've offered in the past, but not as much recently. And I probably will offer more of this because I think it's so important. But essentially just guiding me of like feeling what's there and then asking questions about it. And, you know, we can do this for ourselves, but it really does help to have someone else to help. And I'm going to just talk about myself a little bit. You know, I don't like to do that too much here, but for those of you interested, keep listening. If you just want the transits for this week, skip ahead, probably like 10, 15 minutes. But I'm just going to share a lot about my own experience and perspective on this. So I have been doing this yoga teacher training program now for 7 years online. It was a dream come true to create this. And it's something that I really love and enjoy, but I had this big resistance to like creating the 8th program, and I meant to launch it a month ago, and I talked about it on the podcast, and it's pretty much ready to go, but there was a part of me that was like, no, and it wouldn't move, and there's actually a lot of resistance to it over the last few months. And then now is it's time to open it up and sign people up and start teaching and all this. The resistance was stronger no internally. And then all these physical things started happening in the last month. You know, many of you know I had a motorcycle fall 2 months ago. So I had a lot of time just resting and recovering from that. And then I got this massive cough and I felt blocked in my throat and my voice. And my current place, which I really love where I moved, but it's not the best for me to feel fully expressed. I'm actually moving again soon, or have a little more spaciousness and privacy there. So that's part of it, just feeling like a block in my voice, and my expression. And then this resistance, this no to this thing I know I want to do. I've done it before. I know it's really cool. It helps people. It's in my passion, my purpose. And something is just not moving. I could just, you know, I could just put up a website and say, here, you can sign up now and all this, but that's not how I work. You know, it has to be that I feel this deep connection to what I'm doing, and I feel the people who it's meant for, and I feel that connection with them, and I can be a sort of channel for them and their process the way that my teachers were for me. And the way that essentially it's what I wished existed when I was learning yoga, in this case, the yoga training, the yoga mentorship. So that was blocked. So I could not move forward in the way that I know that I want to, in integrity and in service and all this. Because again, I could just go through the motions, but that's not why I do what I do. And I think ultimately we all want to live a life where we're not just going through the motions, we're doing what we want to do. And really connected to it, right? So I wasn't, and then that's the real work for me. And working with my coach, guide, advisor, whatever you want to call her, and just stating this, so like, okay, it's a no. And then she asks, okay, well, let's go into that. What do you feel? What's there? What part of you is this? And it was my inner child. I could feel this young part of me. It's like, this isn't fun and I don't want to do it. And the teacher training had become, in the last year, I got this desire to conform to the Yoga Alliance standards. So short version is Yoga Alliance is the organization that some people think is what certifies yoga teachers, but it's not. It's really just a registry where you pay a fee and you put your name on their website. And they've gotten better in years, and they offer more things. But for a long time, that's all it was. Just a list, basically, that you pay to be on and say you're a Yoga Alliance teacher. And then as a school, like, you go through all these certain ways of saying and doing things to fit to their standards, which have gotten better. And so, okay, I appreciate their new improved standards. I'll try to work with this and make my program fit into the standard, which some people, when they are looking for a teacher training, they think that's important. They think, oh, is it a Yoga Alliance teacher training? I want to know if I can get that, and I might need that for when I'm a teacher. And the truth is, you never ever need it. Maybe like 1-5% of studios in the world will ask you for it, but what they really want to know is, can you teach a good class? So I, as a teacher myself, no one has ever asked me for it, and I've taught everywhere in every possible situation in Austin, Texas, where I learned, studios, literal elementary schools, high schools, gyms, you know, everything, corporate, every yoga studio around town almost. So, you know, that I never was asked for the Yoga Alliance thing, but some new people coming in to look for a teacher training think it's important because of the Yoga Alliance marketing, which is very good. So I was like, okay, I'll do the Yoga Alliance thing and conform my program to that. And it turned out to be like a 7-month process of emailing back and forth. Okay, change this thing here. How are you going to do this? What's that? And it really took the life out of it. And my inner child was now just sort of like waiting to have fun again. And there was still, my program was still in there, but now it's like, how do I kind of twist this so it fits this thing and kind of contort myself to be what I guess I'm supposed to be with this? And, you know, I'd run 6 times this program without the Yoga Alliance thing, and I felt very happy with it and very easy to just keep going and launch it again. But the 7th one, there was a lot of resistance in this way, and everything was slower and it took longer. And I'm very happy with the program ultimately, and the students and everything. I don't regret it at all, but I do feel like it became more of just sort of a structure, more of just sort of a thing to do, in a way a job is, like a job that you don't care for becomes this thing where you just do. And I think ideally we all have a job we do care for, and there's some level of passion in it. And there is passion, and it's not as dramatic as I might make it sound to be, but to my inner child it is. And it is this like, no, and that's not why, ultimately the whole thing is just, that's not why I do yoga. It's not why I teach yoga. I didn't start doing yoga so I could follow some preset way of, this is the way you teach and this is the program and you follow these steps. And everything about the process was just like red tape. And even once it was done, like, somebody graduated and where do you find this on the Yoga Alliance site, and they're not sending me this, and how do you do that? And it's a slow organization, and, you know, just not, none of that is why I do this. So in this process with my guide and coach, I really touched this inner child that is, when I first had this kind of cough when my mom was smoking around me as a little kid, and her friends, So I was around cigarette smoke a lot as a little kid and had this really bad cough and had to go to the doctor and actually had a portion of my lung was black as a little kid. And fortunately, that can heal essentially when you're that young. So it healed and I'm fine now and never got into smoking and all that. I really don't like cigarette smoke. But the interesting thing is that it's happening now, having this cough and having this resistance and having this disconnect from my inner child and then like feeling stuck about this program, which are all kind of adult things. But then I go back to the deeper essence of it. There's this inner child that really wanted to feel cared for, feel expressed, feel loved, which I think we all want those things probably, and was not feeling cared for to be in an environment where I was having this cigarette smoke and this block in my voice and expression and feeling very shy and shut down. You know, I have K2 in the second house. It's a loss of the voice in the childhood, and I was very shy, very quiet as a kid, and just kind of wanted to keep the peace. And took me a long time to get access to my voice, to be able to do what I do now, where I'm using my voice all the time and I'm teaching and all this, is a long journey. But back then, I didn't have the sort of space where I could just speak up. You know, you're dependent as a child, so I was dependent on my mother, and to say something that would harm that would not be wise, right? So to suppress the needs and the wants and the voice to survive. And some element of that was coming out in the last month of like, no, I want to follow the Yoga Alliance standards. I want to do this, but to do that, I have to suppress my voice and suppress my authenticity. And really the reason why I do the whole program, you know, it's like, I remember a couple years, maybe 2 or 3 years after this, having the black lung thing, like finding the gym class in school and that sort of exhilaration of like getting my heart rate up and playing and feeling the sort of breath flow and that excitement and energy that comes with that. It's very energizing, of course, especially as a kid, you're just like running around in gym class. And that, and like this teacher I had, who was like this amazing male figure who I did not have to that point, no father in my childhood. So this is a connection I never made before, never quite made this connection. All my years, 12, 13, 14 years, I don't know, of teaching yoga now, 13 years. And a big motivator of why I got so into health was I didn't have a male role model figure in my life. And then I go to this gym class and this guy is somebody I look up to, and he's super fit and healthy and happy and also firm and direct, and is very inspiring to me. And then I think of myself as a yoga teacher now, and I see a lot of him in me. And I would probably maybe not have gone down the same path to health and wellness without that inspiration. So very fortunate to meet him. I can't remember his name, but maybe out there somewhere in the world, and thank you to you. And that connection is why, you know, from that thread of this male mentor, health and wellness, feeling expressed, feeling this energy of the breath, this energy of my body, to eventually taking my first gym class as a teenager and at age 16. And that was like the best feeling in the world, like a drug to come out of a weightlifting class. Euphoric. It was like playing music live and then lifting weights were like euphoria to me as a teenager. And I just wanted to do that all the time. So that led to joining a gym, to finding yoga class there, and then to yoga training and so on. So there's this thread through all this that's why I do it. It's nothing to do with checking some boxes from some organization of people who I don't know, who I don't necessarily want to be like or have any sort of relationship with, right? Like I want to do it this way, other than just, you know, some new students might come in and say, "Are Yoga Alliance, is it a Yoga Alliance teacher training?" And for a long time, I'd say no, and that doesn't matter because X, Y, and Z. And I got tired of explaining it, so I was like, "Okay, I'll just do it," and just follow their protocol. But that requires a sort of self-abandonment. And to do something that requires self-abandonment, I just cannot do it anymore. And my body will not allow it anymore. And we can ignore these things to some degree, but at a certain point, we can't anymore. And I'm in, you know, this, I'm doing these yoga practices for so long that it's very hard to do anything that is not in alignment or integrity for my body. And this is why I'm into Vedic astrology as well. You know, I've kept following Western for a few years as a yogi, and then I learned Vedic, and it just felt so much more in alignment. It's why I live in the place in Mexico where I live. It just feels in alignment for me. And it's just why I eat the way I eat, why I live the way I live. I'm just, as best I can, following that intuition and alignment of, like, this is the yes and that's the no, and I'm going to go away from the no and towards the yes. And if there is a no, maybe there's something to look at there, like this process of, okay, I'm saying no, where did this come from? Where do I feel this? And then it ends up, I go into this inner child work. And it doesn't always, all things don't always go back to that, but a lot of things do. And a lot of our conditioning is formed there. And I'm amazed at how many layers of this keep happening year after year of coming back to these early development times in my life. And I've had huge emotional release last week with this, and it felt very, very relieving. And like I touched something very deep and very necessary. And to me, that's the real work. That's what I'm really doing in my work, is like doing this deep inner work and connecting to why I really am here and what I have to offer, how I want to help, who I want to help. And a lot of it is like a younger version of myself. You know, this kid who grew up in a very unhealthy environment and unexpressed, wanting to find a way to be healthy and expressed. It's a big part of why I do what I do. Wanting to, and not having a father or a sense of like the things that a masculine, strong masculine energy can provide of structure, boundaries, direction, purpose, all that, and wanting to find that and then ultimately creating it in my life. So sharing these things and sharing firm containers to go through transformational processes is just so, so satisfying and rewarding to me. To create that and to get to experience that. I've experienced so many of those that's why I do what I do as well. So all this was so that I could just put up a website that says sign up for the teacher training. It's open now. but really it's also to reshape the program of why do I do this? What is this existing for? Who is this for? What in me needs to share this? And I feel so clear on those things now and so, so excited about it, which I didn't feel before. I felt resistance to it, and now I feel excited about it. And it's like such a gift to get to be alive, to get to understand our bodies, to get to understand our health and our wellness and why we're here. And I just hope maybe hearing this story inspires you in whatever your journey is. Because this, you know, sharing the details of this, my hope with that is just that it somehow reflects more of the details of your story. And maybe helps you reflect on what are the details and the lessons in your story. And that, you know, for me to have this intense cough seems a little arbitrary. And like, how do I get a cough like this? But there's a psychosomatic part of it. And it's like connecting me back to when I was a little kid and I had a bad cough, and very similar, and then how I felt at the time. And that same part of me that's like, no, don't go forward with this yet. You got to connect to these deeper parts of why you do this. Don't go forward just following what you think you're supposed to do or what some system said to do. pause connects to this part of yourself. And then also is another layer of like, I like to learn all the time, and I'm constantly listening to stuff and learning stuff. And I felt in that experience, like this inner child for me just wanted to be heard and recognized. And to do that, I need silence. And I've been giving myself a lot more silence in the last week, long walks on the beach and just sitting and meditating and yin yoga. And that little child comes out through like singing random songs and random curiosities and ideas. And I was just like so in the need of some sort of breakthrough. And this is that breakthrough for me. And I'll talk about the astrology of it in a minute, but I just want to share really the essence of it first. So yeah, touching into that part of me that wants to be heard by me, and how I was not listening to it because I was filling the spaces in my day with information or education or useful things, but the emotional part was not being heard. The inner child was not being heard because there was too much other noise. And that's another thing with the throat chakra, is it can be expressed through speaking out and your voice coming through and your inner voice coming through, or it can be suppressed by other voices coming in and information and ideas and sound and noise coming in, because now you're an input rather than an output, right? And this can get blocked. And I've experienced that many times. And I experienced this very dramatically many years ago with a friend I've talked about before on the podcast, who I went to. He had this major throat block issue and very difficult time talking like that, like pausing a lot and getting stuck with his voice. You know, even as I kind of do that, I could feel like so much tension in my neck. And he would talk like this at first. And I went to visit his house with him, and his dad, he lived with his dad, and it's always like three TVs on, radio on, constant noise. There was just no silence. He moved out of there and got his own place. Next time I saw him, talking very confidently, very much like himself again. So it's amazing how much that can help as well. Just thinking about the voice as either an output or an input. And if there's too much input, it's going to get shut down. Even this podcast, you know. Don't listen to me too much. Gotta listen to your voice, inner voice as well. Don't listen to anybody too much as an input, you know. It's good. It's very, very important to have them. Like, I would not be who I am without the inputs. And it's very, very important to have the outputs and the space and just letting your voice come through, your thoughts, your feelings. So that was another big insight into this process for me. And then the last one was just this part of me that, as a little kid, to sort of keep me occupied, my mom would just put me in front of a video game and I would be very happy. Super Mario Brothers 3 was the coolest thing in the world to me. So I just felt myself really drawn to playing that game again in recent month. So there's a website you can find any video game essentially from the 80s and 90s and play it for free, which is pretty cool. But I found that and started to, I was like, maybe it'll be fun to play. Maybe this is a way to connect with my inner child, you know, I'll play video games. But that was actually a way to kind of placate me and keep me busy and not really express myself. And it felt like it was not the thing. I was like, oh, cool, I can play the game. And that's really fun. It kind of takes me back to that time. But it also kind of takes me out of this time. And it just didn't feel like the true thing. And, you know, that's nothing against video games or any particular thing. But just in that experience for me, it was like, that's not quite the thing. So I also realized that, like, I was not just listening to my inner child in modern times and today in this last month, but I was like, oh, this is what I did as a kid. But actually, no, that was sort of placating me as a kid and keeping me busy. And that's not really expressing myself. So finding the deeper truth of actually expressing myself. So vulnerable podcast today. Hope you found it interesting. I like to focus on helping you at this podcast and sharing things that might be useful to you. So hopefully you find this helpful and useful to you as well. Let's talk about some of the astrology of just what I saw and then how I'm kind of looking at this and then how you might look at this yourself. And here's my chart. You know, some astrologers are like, don't share your chart online. It's like, I'm not the one who made the chart, you know? I'm just the one who gets to experience it. And then those same astrologers will pull up every celebrity's chart. It's like, did you get their permission? Did they want their chart online? You know? So anyway, I'm an open book. I got nothing to hide. I don't care who sees it. I don't care what anyone interprets it. If you interpret it right or wrong, whatever. When I was learning, I interpreted stuff wrong all the time. But it's just part of the process. We're all here to learn. So I'm going to share, you know, what you could learn potentially from my chart. And any Virgo rising right now, you know, here's my ascendant chart and then the transits that are happening right now. So any Virgo rising over the last month, there may have been some sort of like rush hour kind of vibe in your life. And for me, it's the house I moved to is just like constant construction. And I thought it was going to be done when I moved in, but it's just like, there's one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. Or like a friend of mine who's in the astrology mentorship program, like she talked about how she's closing on a house and it's just continually one more thing, one more piece of paperwork, one more thing. That is Mars and Saturn in the sixth house. So Mars wants to get things done and go forward. Saturn wants to slow things down, like rush hour traffic. And then the sixth house is your day-to-day routine, enemies, debts, things like that. So for Virgo risings over the last month, you may have been experiencing this. But anybody, whenever you have Saturn, Mars together in the sixth house in particular, it's going to affect your daily life like this. But Saturn, Mars together has that sort of rush hour effect wherever it is in your chart. So for other ascendants, it's going to be in other houses. Like for example, Gemini ascendants, like my moon, that's happening over the ninth house, which is more like your spiritual path and your higher education. And then for me, this, I think this relates to like offering my teacher training program, which is a higher education kind of program on a spiritual path, which has this sort of stop and start to it. Like I want it to go forward, but there's a resistance and there's this kind of rush hour vibe. So those are kind of things I'm looking at for myself that you can look at. You can think about it this way for yourself. You look at your ascendant and then you look at where the transits are over your chart overlaid. Now, if you have Parashar's light, you can do these composite charts like this. And if you don't have it, you can do it in your head or on paper or somehow with notes. But just knowing, you know, what the transits are, like I talk about on the podcast, you can overlay it on your chart. So for Virgo ascendants, when I say that Jupiter is in Aries, you know that's going to be your eighth house. For Gemini ascendants, when I say Jupiter is in Aries, you know that's going to be your 11th house, because Aries is in the 11th house. Now, the other layer to all this is we're in the eclipse season. So we're all going to go through some sort of big portal of transformation. Every person, some level, willingly or unwillingly, resisting it, kicking and screaming, blocking it, slowing it down, impeding it, or allowing it, surrendered, opening to it. And for me, yin yoga is one of the best ways to practice surrender, like literally just letting go, not forcing your body. Restorative yoga, even more so, like you do nothing. Yin yoga is a little activation of like actively stretching, but restorative, totally like, or yoga nidra, you know, these are great ways to practice surrender. And with the eclipse season, there's a sort of momentum in your life going in a direction and you can go with it or against it. And for me, there's this momentum in my life going towards this next teacher training, but I had the resistance. So I slowed down and did this work with my coach to look at the resistance and feel it and uncover all these things in myself. And then now we can move forward. Because now you've connected to the deeper thing of like, there's a reason there's a no. There's a reason part of you is resisting or blocked. And in uncovering that, you can free up so much energy. That's ultimately what it's for. It's like, not to just like therapize yourself and just like overthink it. And you know, there's a whole world in that where you can just think about stuff so much and and then astrologize everything so much. I'm like, oh, if Saturn's here, so it means this, this, and this. And then, but Mars is there, and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, it's like, is energy flowing in your life? Are you in alignment? Are you happy? Are you fulfilled? Are you connected to why you're doing something? And it may be connected to your inner child as well. It may be just something you want to do now, just the desire that arose. But if there's a block, that's a good sign to slow down, look within, and see what's there, and just explore and be curious about that block, and maybe get some help as well to explore what that is. Now, I'm also in the Dasha Sandhi. That's the end of my Saturn Dasha. So whenever you're in the end of a Dasha, this is a transitional time where things can be a little shaky. I talk about it as a metaphor of a bridge between two mountains. So the Dasha changes don't happen very often, of course. You know, it's several years of every Dasha. So when they do happen, they're big, big turning points in life. And when you're in the Dasha Sandhi, things can be a little uncertain, unstable. You reevaluate a lot of things, and you're in this bridge between two mountains. The mountain you've been on in this Dasha, and then the mountain you're going to in the next Dasha. And they have this time of the last sub-Dasha to the first sub-Dasha of the next one. And that can be several years. And it's important to have a sense of humor about this. And it can be quite interesting, uncertain, rocky. What am I doing? Where am I going? All this. But it also can be, I think of it as a time of discovery. Try things, explore things. It's like life would be boring without these Dasha Sandhis. Some people get scared about them, and some people go through major life changes. So my last one, 2007, I got robbed around that time. And I knew I needed to make a change. I was not in alignment in about 15 different ways. I was very much trying, but also like resisting and refusing the call of the universe. And no, I just knew what I needed to change. I wanted to move, wanted to be playing live shows and making music and doing more meditation and all this. And I was just resisting all that. Mostly, you know, not entirely, but I was just resisting a lot and thinking, oh, I need to do this first. What about that? I'm not ready, blah, blah, blah. And then the universe did something to kind of rip me out of that. So say, no, you got to make a change now. And that's where it's like this idea of like, you can go willingly or unwillingly into these big transitions in life. And if I had done this more, just listening to those voices and intuition and feeling that, it's really like a feeling more than a voice. And just know, I just know, like, this is the next step, this is the next step, and then not resist it. This could have been a more pleasant transition, but also trust it was exactly what it needs to be, and I trust whatever has happened in life is just what it needs to be. But when we know we're in the Dasha Sandhi, we know that we're in this transitional time, and it's really important to listen to those intuitive voices or feelings of go this way, don't go that way, this is a no, this is a yes. And a real simple, practical way I do this, which I've talked about before, but it's like your body is telling you. It's like when you feel into, say, your choices between A or B, and you hold them in your hands in front of you, your body's going to lean towards one or the other. And if you try to make, say, you lean towards A, and you try to make yourself lean towards B, you feel that resistance. Or if you lean towards B, you try to make yourself lean towards A, but no, A should be the logical choice, I should do this. You feel the resistance, and your body's a no. So you can't fake that, you can't force it, you can't intellectualize it. It's an intuitive sense, and this works well for me. Maybe it'll work well for you as well. Everyone's a little different, everyone has their own things, but if you want what I think is maybe the best divination tool, it's your body. And your sense, your spidey sense of this is expansion. You know, you could do it just leaning forward and imagine something's in front of you. If it's just one option, say the option A is in front of you, how do you feel? Do you feel expansion and like you want to move towards it? Or do you feel repulsion and the contraction? And sometimes the contraction is something to look at and it's like, what is that? Why is it there? But sometimes it's just saying, no, that's not it. You know, it's like if I held out two different meals in front of you. Do you want to eat pizza or a hamburger? You know, one of those is going to appeal more to you. Your body's going to feel more pulled to one, or maybe a no to both, maybe a yes to both. And you have both of the things. So it's okay if it's like multiple options and you want it all, then it's like, okay, which one do I want first? And then you feel where you lean towards that. Something I've used a lot in the past when I was very in my head, Virgo rising and Gemini so dominant for me. But that helped me get out of my head and into my body, into my intuition, into my feeling of, and especially for my stomach. I had a lot of stomach issues for years. And like, what do I eat? I was just eating in my head of like, oh, I should eat this. This should be good for me. I should eat a salad. That's going to be healthy. But I feel my body, it's like, no, I shouldn't eat anything right now. Or I should eat something random. Like, oh, that's weird. But, you know, my body feels good. My stomach feels good. My mouth salivates. And I think about that food. It's like, okay, that's the one. So there's so many signals from our bodies in the present moment that we can be listening to and guiding us. And then the astrology, we zoom out, you know, we're getting the big picture with the astrology. It's not so much like, what should you eat for lunch? It's more of like, what are you going to be some of your eating tendencies? And like with the sixth house transits, like this is a good time to be extra careful with your health and wellness. You know, especially for me, you know, the Mars and Saturn there, there are things I could have done to be extra mindful of my health and wellness, but also I just trust that it was what it needed to be. And now I've got that lesson on a deeper level and humbled and reminded of going within on a deeper level to, you know, it ultimately led me to this inner child work and my deeper why for my yoga teaching. So I trust that it was all perfect, but, proactively, we can look at these things ahead and know they're coming. And sometimes we miss them. I miss things all the time. I'm not perfect. I don't try to be perfect. I'm just a student of astrology and I love to share it. So I'm always learning and humbled by this as much as anyone else. And I don't have all the answers, but I do have the curiosity to learn about it. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Saturn, for the lesson. Got it. And didn't see that coming. And a lot of times it's like this, you know, if we can see it all coming, it's not life. It's not reality. It's like life is going to continue to surprise us. Oh, didn't think I'd have a fall on my motorcycle. Okay. Oh, I didn't think, you know, have this massive cough. Didn't expect that. Okay. Let's see what we can learn from this. And how delightful to get to be surprised by life and learn things. Not always so negative, but you know, it can be also very positive things too. So that's what I'm thinking about when I look at transits for myself. You know, I look at my ascendant, look at where the planets are, I look at my moon, look where the planets are. You know, the same thing I do for everyone else, and I'll do this for the eclipse as well. So if you're curious, like how this eclipse might play out for you, I'll share some things you can look to for it. And I think this part of the process for me is like, whew. Yeah, this eclipse portal is big part of this whole thing. I feel like that was the lesson for me in this eclipse portal. And that reconnection to my why for my health and wellness, which this eclipse in Hosta in Virgo. And I'll share more about like how this might play out for everyone else. But I think it's a big part of it. And the eclipse portal, you can feel it. You can go through these things early, middle, end. It's a 6-week process. We're in it already. I had it earlier in the process. I don't know of a good way to predict like if it's going to be early, middle, or end. I think it's when it needs to be for whatever lessons you're going through. But you can know it's coming and then just try to lay low on the day of the eclipses, the actual day. Maybe do some spiritual work, healing work, anything spiritual is auspicious on the day. Meditation, chanting, yoga, whatever. But big life decisions, signing contracts, no, not that kind of stuff. Anything that's high risk, bungee jumping, skydiving, don't do that on the eclipse day, in my professional opinion. But you can follow your intuition. And if your intuition is a full yes to doing something, okay. But, you know, generally recommend the eclipse days lay low, but around these days, big changes, big transformation. And now I'll go into the Mercury Dasha next, which I'm pretty excited for as somebody who loves comedy. And I've always had a little bit of a dream of doing more comedy things. I've done improv comedy for like 8 years now. I love improv comedy. I don't know if I'll do this any way professionally or on stage, but I have, and I do it for fun, and Mercury Dasha is like that. And also love running my business. So I think this will be great for me in that way. So I feel those things coming, right? When you know you're coming into another Dasha change, there's certain things you can expect and start to work towards and find ways to express those parts of yourself more and kind of prepare for that. And then prepare for the transits as well. So let's look at the transits now. After my long-winded episode about myself, I hope you found it interesting and helpful. And there's a lot of things I didn't touch on, but to try to keep it simple today, look at the transits and the dashas for yourself. These are so important to know what's going on in your life. I'll say one more thing. Of course, I'm in the Saturn Dasha, which is a time of deep meditative practices, personal growth, deep lessons. It is challenging. There's lots of obstacles, but lots of growth. And when I get into old things like yoga, astrology, it's excellent. You know, it's a wonderful time for learning old things and being disciplined and being structured and being organized and learning from processes and systemized ways of doing things. And I've been in so many containers in this time and in so many meditation classes and led them and taught them and yoga classes, thousands in this time. So that is perfect for Saturn. And then Mercury is quite different. So I'll be moving into that. But, you know, knowing the dasha and the themes, you know what kind of energies to work with. And it just turns out that so many of the people I work with in my astrology mentorship are in the Saturn dasha. Not everybody, but quite a few. And, you know, this is a good time to do this kind of stuff, like learning astrology. And it's a pretty serious topic, you know, so we get into very serious stuff and life choices and all this. So Saturn is very serious as well. But who knows, maybe I'll be a stand-up comedian in the Mercury Dasha. Why not? Well, let's move on and talk about the transits. And if you're watching the video, I've got the transits showing now from March 23rd. I'm going to go back a little bit. Oh, hold on. I'll change this so we got a better view. There we go. I'm going to go back a little bit through the last week since I was sick and just share some of the transits that happened from March 15th. And then we'll go all the way up to the end of March, because the next couple episodes will do the eclipse and then the April. April already. April horoscopes coming up next. So let's look at March 15th, last week. You can see the stellium over there in Pisces, Rahu, Mercury, Neptune, and Sun. And then we got three planets in Aquarius as well. So a lot of Saturnine and Jupiter energy dominating through March. The teachers learning big life lessons. Saturn bringing more maturity into our lives, and Jupiter being in Aries and Barony, this potential for huge breakthroughs. So I shared about this breakthrough I had. Maybe it's not the last one I'll have in this eclipse season, who knows? But it was a big, big breakthrough, like huge, lots of tears, lots of feelings coming out, lots of release. And this Barony energy, the symbol of a yoni, it's the portal between life and not life. It's how we're all brought in here into this lifetime. So we have this energy, this potential right now, Jupiter and Barony, expansion, a possibility for birthing something new in ourselves, really strong. And with all this Pisces energy, it's like what we imagine, what we dream can come into being. And then Mars moved into Aquarius there on March 15th. last week, bringing more of this action-oriented energy into community visions, dreams, ideals that you have. But with Saturn, there's that rush hour kind of vibe where it's like excitement to move forward, but also resistance and slow down. And maybe a strong sense of this vision and dream and ideal, but it's like going slower than you might like. And excitement to move forward, but also delays. And you got to slow down and you got to find the timing of this. So Mars in Aquarius there, and then Mercury in Revati Nakshatra last week as well, or communication, our thinking, moving into more intuitive realms. Maybe you had some powerful dreams and insights. I definitely did, and I definitely forgot them. And I am bummed about this because I know I had some really good ones, but forgot them. But I did have this connection and this process I mentioned, these deep insights. So Mercury in Pisces can bring about like some deep, profound insights and breakthroughs like this as well. Then Sun in Uttara Vajrapada on March 17th happened. And we had the new moon in Purva Vajrapada before this, the previous week. So with the Sun now here in Uttara Vajrapada, it is this energy that can bring discipline and focused approach to personal and professional matters. There's this energy to move forward on your visions and actions as well. So the Sun here brings more vitality and energy into your visions, but still that sort of rush hour energy pervading through all this because Saturn is so strong and has such an influence on all this, and Mars is ruling Jupiter. So as strong as Jupiter and Saturn are, there's this like Mars kind of energy there that's being slowed down with Saturn. Venus brings passion, is like passion to do something, to have something, but you gotta wait. And will it be worth the wait? Probably. Saturn often rewards that patience and hard work. And the issue with Saturn is that it is usually worth it, and it's just rewarding and delaying, but not denying what you want. And then we had the vernal equinox on March 19th. It's when the day and night are equal length, and it's a good time for new beginnings, renewal, and kind of finding your equilibrium and center again. And the day before that is when I had this like big process for myself. So you may have had last week around Tuesday some sort of recentering and recalibration and realignment of what means balance in your life, what brings balance. And something may have been way out of balance that needed to change, and you're changing that. And then on Thursday last week, Neptune in Uttara Vajrapada. Now, the Vajrapadas are subtle energies. They're a little challenging to talk about in a way, very spiritual energies. And Neptune also represents illusions and can be very interesting to talk about as well. But this time can bring about heightened intuition and spiritual insights that will continue for a while with Neptune here. Increased sensitivity to subtle energies and emotions. So this is, you know, one of the best things you can do with this is some sort of healing and energy work. And I actually also did a breath work and sound healing session yesterday, and that also just moved so much and felt super healing and relieving for my body and nervous system. With Neptune here, a great time to be doing this kind of stuff. And great for artistic pursuits, creativity, highly creative energy. Can be escapism or confusion if you're not grounded. So that will continue for a while. Then we move on to what's happening this week. So from as I'm recording this, it's today, Saturday, March 23rd, Venus moving into Purva Vajrapada, which is still in Aquarius with Saturn and Mars. So this can bring deep and meaningful interactions in your relationships, and it can be focused on shared values and mutual understanding in relationships. Venus creates harmony, beauty, love, elegance. In Aquarius, there is this social humanitarian perspective of things, big picture view of the world, of what do you love to do in service to the world? What do you love to do that is your eccentric, unique way of doing it and connecting to that? Really good for creativity and artistic stuff. And could be overly detached energy as well, reserved and aloof energy in relationships and romance. So there may be some need for independence and space. If you're in a long-term relationship already, this is a good time, 9 days, Venus and Perfect Vajrapada here, to honor each other's space. And then Venus will move on to Pisces, where it's exalted pretty soon, which is quite lovely. The end of the month, it gets there. And we have Mars in Satavrisha on March 23rd also for 16 days. It's just later in the day. So this is very healing energy. Mars, planet of action, and Satavrisha, the nakshatra representing healing. And if there's something that needs to be done to bring about healing, starting on March 23rd for about 2 weeks, great time to do this. And like exercise, like active things that bring about healing, you know, exercise and like weightlifting and stuff often is breaking down the body. When you're actually working out, you're in a catabolic state, which is breaking down the body and breaking down muscle. So this is a time where you want to be pushing yourself and want to be reaching failure in exercises and then recovering and prioritizing recovery just as much. So Mars loves action and doing stuff. Saturn loves discipline and structure and pushing yourself, testing your limits. So like weightlifting is really good during this time, or exercise or running or anything that pushes your body. And then also, even more important is prioritizing the recovery, because the healing is now where your body repairs when you're resting, when you're sleeping, with what you eat. And this will keep the Mars and Saturn very happy. So pushing your body in exercise, and then you can kind of think of it as like pushing your nervous system to rest. Like, how deep can I go into the parasympathetic nervous system response to rest and digest mode? If we think of like pushing into the active mode, but like pushing into surrender, like not effort, not forcing it, but I'm taking extra time to rest and relax, you know, this kind of thing. Keep the Mars and Saturn happy and to bring out the more positive energy of it. So on the negative side, this can be sort of impatience, conflicts with others, fighting, power struggles. It can be quite intense in a way. And then you need to bring about healing to repair the cause and the harm caused in the conflict. So there's a potential of healing and growth with this. A lot of energy, good for pursuing goals, a lot of drive, a lot of passion. And then the big main event, ding, 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 is March 25th. When the full moon and lunar eclipse is in Virgo in Hosta. And I'll do a full episode with sign-by-sign interpretations for this. But the short version is, on the day of the eclipse, lay low, no big decisions, do healing things. And then you likely will have some big emotional breakthroughs in how you give and receive love more authentically. And it's a suspicious time for completing major projects. And a good time to give up any sort of manipulation or deception and be more vulnerable and true with yourself and with others. The sense of surrender again, just like giving up controlling everything and giving up needing to know the right answer, and just trusting the present moment, trusting yourself and receiving support. Very helpful. And receiving some sort of healing session as well around this time. Very helpful. You can be very emotionally sensitive at this time. And some people could be quite manipulative at this time. And if you can work around that, it's ideal. And ideally, don't be that person. But we'll talk more about this on the next episode. And then Mercury moves into Aries on Monday, March 25th. Same day. Mercury's in Aries and Ashwini. So Mercury continues on, moves into its next cycle through all the signs. So Mercury, the communication, our intelligence, in Aries, let's go, let's do it, let's start something. What do we want to learn? What do we want to talk about? Let's talk about something, let's move, let's get something going. It's a very active energy, very dynamic, very assertive. Great influence for starting any new projects or ideas. Increase mental energy and focus. Just be aware, this is 2 weeks here in Ashwini, where you may be off to the races, the Ashwini horses, and then burned out in 2 weeks. So try not to spin your wheels too much with this. And there could be some impatience, impulsivity with this 2 week cycle. And just like, let's go, let's do it. What are we waiting for? But hold your horses. See how many horse metaphors I can get in here. How many I can shoehorn in here. Hold your horses, keep your head up, put the blinders on, run your own race, stay on track, get to the finish line. and that's all I got. So be aware of this energy, the horse energy, which is also a healing energy. So a good time for doing any sort of healing activity, healing with horses, you know, equine therapy. Be really nice. But also, there may be some new ideas and inspiration and projects you want to run forward with and be off to the races, but be aware that you could burn out. And then somebody will say, whoa, girl, right? It's my last horse thing. All right, moving on. March 25th also is Mercury in Ashwini. I just talked about that one, actually, looking at my notes. And then Sun moves into Revati on Saturday, March 30th. So moving ahead another week, because the next episodes are not going to cover this. So we'll talk about it here. You see Sun and Rahu in Revati together. Fun, right? Rahu, the obsessive energy, that addictive energy that wants more, wants to experience. It's an infinite energy, wherever Rahu is, and it's in Pisces now. Infinite energy to dream, to imagine, to have a vision. And the Sun, it's like, that's fun. Yeah, let's do it. Let's envision our future. Let's imagine our future. Let's create something and be very creative and inspired and take action. And there's also the compassionate approach to things here in Revati. Revati is the last nakshatra, and people who have this strong in their chart often have this sense of worldly wisdom, like understanding of a lot of things on a pretty deep level. You could think of it as the journey through the nakshatras is like you get to the last one and you have this culmination of knowledge and wisdom. And the Sun here now is this completion of the solar cycle through the nakshatras and the signs, this culmination of wisdom. What have you learned over the last year through the last vernal equinox as we move into the spring here in the Northern Hemisphere? And what do you want to celebrate? How do you want to celebrate yourself? Great influence for spiritual, creative pursuits. Great intuitive energy. You can have a lot of intuitive inspiration here. Also through like exercise, physical activity, being in the sunlight, getting sun on your skin, sun tanning. Very good. And that feeling, you know, when you lay out in the sun and you just sort of melt and relax and your skin tingles, your vitamin D is moving through your body. You know, this is a recharging kind of energy and can be very inspiring. So with sun here, good time to connect to that energy. If you can be near water, even better, like the ocean with Pisces energy and soaking up the sun and letting this sort of creative energy flow through you. Then the next day, the Sunday, Venus joins the Pisces party, and we got Sun, Venus, and Rahu all in Pisces now, and Neptune as well. So Venus and Pisces is exalted, and Venus, the planet of love, beauty, luxury, enjoyment, pleasure, is in Pisces, which is just like, let me become one with the ocean and just dissolve into oneness and enjoy and go with the flow. And that's like, you know, Venus, you're on a spa day, or you're just like having this beautiful romantic hours of tantric sex with your partner. You know, it's like Venus and Pisces. You don't have a care in the world, or you go to a like a really nice fine restaurant and just have like a 5-course dinner and enjoy all the tastes and take in all the sights and sounds, go to a beautiful resort. You know, this is all Venus and Pisces kind of stuff over this cycle of 23 days while it's here. Shorter stay this year, but a good time to enjoy the pleasures of life, enjoy the nice things. And you don't have to have money to do that. You can do that with just being somewhere in nature and just taking it in wherever you are. You can do it just like with a free YouTube account and listen to music that you like, or pick some flowers out in nature, you know, or you go to the other extreme and go to some 5-star resort and have this romantic getaway. But it doesn't matter how you do it. It's just a wonderful time to enjoy and experience pleasure. This is one of the aims of life, actually, to follow our desires. It's not against the Vedic tradition. And it's really the attachment to desire that causes suffering. It's not desire itself, because we all have desires every day. Otherwise, we wouldn't be alive. You have to desire to live, to continue to even be alive. So you can't be on a spiritual path and have no desire. You have to have desire. And if you want to enjoy them, then this is a great time to do that. And it's a great time for any sort of artistic, creative, romantic pursuits. Great for emotional understanding, emotional connection with others. And the sun here just amplifies that. It's like doing this stuff lights you up. Rahu can make this stuff a little crazy and a little obsessive and like, gotta have it, must do it, it's gotta be this way. And if you don't have it the way you like, then you can get frustrated. But you know, Rahu can chill out, you can relax, you can be aware of that energy. We can say, not today, Rahu, no thank you. I'm just gonna enjoy what I do have and not look at everything else I don't have, which Rahu loves to do. And yeah, you might go to a nice restaurant and then Rahu is like, yeah, but this wasn't that great, or maybe we should have gone to this restaurant, let's go to another one, or yeah, but it didn't have this, blah, blah, blah. You know, Rahu is never gonna be satisfied. And if you feel that over this cycle, the end of March or into early April, just know it's Rahu, no big deal. So these are the big transits coming up and having gone in the past. So hopefully you found this helpful and insightful for looking at what's happening. And again, you just overlay all this onto your chart. So I talk about Pisces, you look where Pisces is in your chart. For a Pisces ascendant, it's in the first house. For an Aries ascendant, it's in the 12th house. And then you got all this stuff I just talked about in that house. What does it mean when it's in that house? Well, you can go back to the houses episodes and listen to that. And if you want a reading for yourself to know how to make sense of this stuff, you can go to quietmindastrology.com. You can schedule a reading there. And you can sign up for the waitlist for the next yoga teacher mentoring program that I'm very excited to offer now that I've reconnected to my why. Quietmind.yoga/YTT or the links in the show notes. And if you enjoyed the podcast, leave a review, share it with a friend, and look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast.